And let me say one other thing before I start off, and that is that I'd mentioned last time that some of the things I'd share would be controversial, but it's not so much the subject or the information that's controversial. A lot of it has to do with the titles that I will be giving these sharings. And the titles will cause, are meant to cause us to think and to be, become aware maybe of some angles that we didn't think of before. So it's a good idea before you get too upset with me, wait it out, wait all the way through the gathering, the sharing, and you'll find that things usually will work out. So I'll give you the title so that you can be chewing on that. It's called "I Was Kicked in the Head at the Foot of the Cross." And in fact, the full title is "I Was Kicked in the Head at the Foot of the Cross with a Nail-Scarred Foot." Okay, chew on that for a little while. Of course, being from Texas, some of my angles are going to be Texan, not always couth, but straightforward, and just trying to communicate what I feel like the Lord wanted me to share today. I was considering Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus. And I was thinking about our concept of what that means and what it's like, how we perceive that, and maybe how we formulate that picture in our mind as we are seeking to reach His heart. And I felt like the Holy Spirit began to share some things with me that might be a little different angle than what we've been thinking about that particular story. And so I'm going to read that story as found in Luke 7. And it'll be Luke 7, verse 36 through 39. And I'll just read it if you don't have your Bible, so you don't have to worry about it. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, I'm going to give, again, a little bit different angle of this. This was a wonderful experience. It was an event that you know, I mean, first of all, on her part, to be able to minister to Jesus in that way. But we have no record of her being at the cross. And we have very little, and certainly in these scriptures, very little said about communications from Jesus directly to her. And so what I begin to think about is how we view that. And then when we go to prayer, or we're at an altar call or something like that, we sort of picture ourselves at the feet of Jesus, like she was, and we're crying and we're pouring our tears out on his feet, and we're saying, "Jesus, I want to know you. I want what you want. I want your desires to be fulfilled." And everything about that, I think, is pure in our hearts. But I think that there's an element that we may be missing when we kind of move into that picture from the scriptures instead of finding the deepest realities of God at the cross. And so I wrote down, we can show him our attention, our love, our deep desire for him to get what blesses him. But are we looking in the right place? And are we looking at the right feet? Now, yes, it's Jesus' feet in both situations, whether it's the woman with the alabaster box or Jesus at the cross. But there is no record of anything, you know, happening apart from the cross that had true eternal significance. It was at the cross that everything was accomplished. It's at the cross that our salvation is. It's at the cross where we were brought into oneness. With the alabaster box and all that, she's still a separate person. And we can read that story, and we can be affected by that story in great ways, but it might be that we're being affected by that as a separate person instead of seeing it through the cross and really realizing that what she was crying out for, what she was loving and desiring, had not come into fruition yet. Only at the cross, when we see Jesus, when we know Jesus, then we know who we are because we've been made one with Him. And that's where that took place. And so that's what I meant by, you know, are we looking in the right place? Are we looking at the right feet? Because I'm talking about, are we looking at nail-scarred feet, if you understand what I'm saying. So the place where we're truly, I mean, the place where we can truly give Him what He wants is when we perceive what the cross means on several different levels, not just salvation. But we can't give Him what He wants through a pre-cross relationship, because what He wants, He bought and paid for and made us one and conformed us to His image and gave us His life and gave us His Spirit and said, you are my bride, you are my body, you are my habitation, all of these things. That's where we have to see what He wants. And He made us that, but we're not going to be that until we see that at the cross. Teaching, sitting at the feet of Jesus and Him teaching us that prior to the cross would do no good. That's why He didn't do it. Would do no good. And it's not a teaching. It's not a teaching. It's His heart. And you're not going to see these wonderful truths just by a teaching. Not my teaching, not anyone's teaching. And the whole point of these things are to get us to open our hearts, to get us to look beyond all of the religious views of ways and means of getting to things and just go to Him and say, reveal those things by life in me, which is His life, through oneness with His life. So, on our part, I mean, we know what Jesus' part is. On our part, one of the biggest things we must do is we must perceive. Have to perceive reality. We have to perceive, for example, the cross. If you were there at the cross, we have to perceive the place. We have to perceive the eternal moment. We have to perceive the truth behind the event. I can't say it any more plainly. That's what the need is. Therefore, just sitting at His feet and crying out is not going to get us there. We're gonna have to go back to that moment. And I'll explain that in just a minute. But one thing that we know about Paul is he perceived the cross. And he perceived Jesus beyond that event. He perceived it beyond that event. I'm going to read Galatians 6:14 to sort of make my case that Paul didn't get caught up in the event of the cross. just like we shouldn't get caught up in the event of sitting at his feet and crying out, but we should cry out to see and perceive the true spiritual thing and the truth behind events, not just that event, not just those events, but all events that are supposedly of God, or we'll miss God. We will miss the eternal moment because we're too caught up in the circumstances. So this is Galatians 6:14, and this is the fact that here's Paul's perception. Here's Paul's perception. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and for and I unto the world. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. For as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Oh, my Lord, I don't even know. You know, part of those verses we know, I glory in the cross, but, you know, he gloried in the cross of his own crucifixion, not just the cross of Jesus' crucifixion. That's what the verse says. And then he starts unhinging the Jewish religion by saying, because in Jesus Christ, only in Jesus, in union with Jesus, these are things are only true, but in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, but being a new creature, because you're in union, and that makes all things new in you. And then he starts talking about, and walking, who walks according to this? Who walks according to the perceived reality of God? Not the moment and trying to just figure out what is God and what's going on. So I like the ending there. He says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I say, amen, Brother Paul. So I'm going to say this in a little Texan manner or whatever, maybe a little brusque for some of you, but Paul got that he wasn't sitting at the imaginary feet of Jesus somewhere like we do sometimes in our prayer life or whatever, where we go to the imaginary feet of Jesus and, you know, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And he didn't go there and crying, asking to have the Lord reveal himself in Paul's heart, because he didn't go to the feet of Jesus unless he went to the feet at the foot of the cross. And here's what I mean by that. Paul was around when the cross happened. Paul was a Pharisee. But he had no clue of the eternal moments that were going on around him until later. He didn't. Everybody was talking about it. Read, Luke 24, the road to Emmaus, and they're all talking. Everybody's talking about the death and the resurrection, but nobody's perceiving the death and resurrection. They're all, in fact, in those cases, they're mourning and going, oh, this, it all failed. It all went bad. But Paul didn't. He got to a place where He didn't go say, you know, well, Jesus, you rose from the dead, and I'm just going to sit at your feet, and I'm just going to cry out, and you're going to show me. Everything he shared was as if he was there at the cross, seeing the true meaning of the cross. Remember the scripture that we read? I glory in the cross. And I'll give you an example of the opposite of that in just a second. But Paul was staring at the cross, asking for God to give him, to allow him to perceive it. Asking the Spirit, Holy Spirit, reveal the real moment that's happening at this cross. Reveal the real moment. And so, But see, then there's, we go, okay, well, I can accept that. But then there's this thing that happens in us. We start thinking that the goal then is to be at the right place at the right time with Jesus. You know, I want to, folks, being at the right place and at the right time is not enough if you don't perceive what's going on. Consider the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right place, right time, no clue. Nothing. They got nothing working. So let me give you another example, though. It's John chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved," this is talking about John, "he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." All right. That's not a very accurate perception of spiritually what took place at the cross. It's a physical thing that took place, but where's the, you know, where's the glory? Where's the, all sin has been removed. Where is the reality? It's not there. It is, look, you take care of her, and, you know, as if he's just dead and this is the end of it or something like that. You know, Mary, you're going to need to perceive those events beyond events and find the eternal moment of what they are. That's what you're going to have to do. So even there, they missed it. They missed it. And I wrote down, even there, we may miss it if he doesn't kick us in the head. Okay, little text in there. John and Mary, Jesus' mother, stood at the foot of the cross weeping instead of being awed by an expression of the most beautiful love ever seen. They're not looking up at the cross and going, this is it. This is the eternal glory. This is God in all of his radiant love. They're weeping and going, oh, Jesus, we want, you know, why did this happen? And all these things, just like we do sometimes. We're I'm sorry to word it this way, but we're imaginary, in some imaginary vein, sitting at his feet, still trying to gain something that he died and paid for, if we would just perceive the eternal moment of that reality. John is a great example. John was there with Mary and missed it. He didn't see it. But then later on, he saw it. You can read it in the, let's see if I've even got it down here. I think I've got it. I'll just quote it. 1 John 3:16, "By this perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren." John was in the moment, at the right place, and didn't get it at that moment. But thank God that it's eternal moments, and we can be brought back to those things. So I just wrote, at the cross, he doesn't want us weeping tears on his feet. And here's again, little Texas. Weeping tears on his feet at the cross, it blinds and fogs our eyes. We cannot see clearly. Yes, weep, repent, cry out, but then set your course to hear the Spirit. And I'm sorry, I know that can offend all kind of people. Well, it's me, so, you know. But, you know, we're just weeping, and maybe it's just an emotional release for us. Jesus isn't going, oh, I love it when you cry. He wants us to come into a certain heart that can give back to him, to understand how this thing should be working from him to us, from us back to him. That's what he wants. So the things that I just have been telling you right here are things that happened to me. I was I was seeking Jesus once, and I was seeking at the foot of the cross, just like John, just like Mary. And again, here's my weird statement. And I got kicked in the head by a nail-scarred foot. I was all off into this religious stupor of glory that wasn't glory to him, because I was missing the eternal moment of it and making the actual earth moment of it more important. And therefore, like the disciples in Gethsemane, dismissed it. So, as I said, I was seeking Jesus at the foot of the cross, and I got kicked in the head by a nail-scarred foot. He wanted me to quit being so religious. He wanted me to take a good look at what real love looks like. So imagine not seeing real love, just like Mary and John and all of them, and they're going, oh, you know, he's died. The cross, all you're going to do is weep and cry at the cross if you don't see the glory of the eternal being of love himself and what it's accomplished for us. So, just to soften it a bit, don't confuse crying with crying out. Don't confuse, sure, crying's fine, but don't confuse that with crying out. Crying out is, Jesus, I want to know the eternalness of this reality. I don't want to just have the experience of it. And then I think the biggest thought that I've had is perceive the moment. Perceive the moment. And again, here's John after being there at the cross and not perceiving the moment. I'm going to re-quote it. I'm going to read it to you. Same John, the same person. One was John, the one who's just being religious. He's at the event. He's crying. The other one is John, the father of the church, written after all the other disciples were dead and gone. And he's breathing forth the eternal cross to them. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's it. I think God's going to have to kick some of us in the head when we're at the foot of the cross and get our eyes off of the death and get our eyes onto the being of the person, so that we'll come into who he's made us by oneness. All right. Love you guys.